I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning. Warren County Board of Supervisors, May 25th, 2021. Those of you who don't remember me. My name's Tom. Okay, any changes to the tentative agenda?
Yes, under 5G, the closed session, it says to discuss possible litigation. In order to be closed session, it actually has to be imminent or pending, and in this particular case, it should say pending litigation.
Thank you, Lisa. That's why God gave us lawyers to keep an eye on us.
Thank you, Lisa.
Any other changes? We have an agenda. Meet with department heads and elected officials. Terry Johnson, Des Moines County Auditor.
Good morning. We're just keeping busy in the office and trying to work and not pay attention to the demolition across the street, so, but when you got a pile of dust outside your window, you know, you automatically want to look out there, so. But we're just keeping busy.
Thank you, Terry. Colin Durst, IT.
I'm just keeping busy like always. Nothing to report.
Doug Urban, Correctional Center.
Good morning. Everything's going good at the jail. 72 is our population with 6 out of county. I think there's 2 awaiting to go to prison, hopefully later this week, so. Nothing new besides that.
Gina Harden.
Good morning. We're working on changing over our alerting system for the public. The state of Iowa has a new vendor, so we're in the process of changing over our website and the whole system, getting together some marketing materials to get people to sign up for the new program. It's our means of alerting people, the Alert Iowa system right now. People can sign up for what type of messages they'd like to receive, weather-related, specific to a city. And they can also include medical information as part of that. So the state is switching over to a new vendor, so we have to have everybody basically re-sign up. They've got all the landlines already loaded into the system, but if you want any, a lot of people don't have landlines anymore. So we need to get people to sign up for cell phone coverage and et cetera. So I'll have more information on that soon.
So those of us who are already signed up for cell phone coverage would need to be?
Yes, there's no easy way to transfer people. Plus, there's a lot more options to sign up for under this system. You can customize it and you set up your own account with this versus before, once you sign up, you're pretty well stuck unless you unsubscribe from everything. Okay. So we're going to have, really just encourage people all to re-sign up. Yeah, so I'll have more information soon. The changeover is going to take place no later than June 30. So a little over a month, we do the changeover.
Thank you, Gina. Yeah. Chris Lee, Conservation.
Hi, good morning. Gearing up for the busy weekend. Our campgrounds are full at Big Hollow and the Fort Pump Station. We do still have a few sites available down at Walter Recreation Area. We're able to camp down there. Otherwise, there are some campsites available. I hear Geode is full, so that's exciting. We have rescheduled our Double Lake Flotilla and Big Hollow Open House events for this coming weekend, next weekend, June 5th. And that's going to coincide with a lot of other events that were going on. So the Optimist Club is hosting a kids' fishing derby. 9 o'clock in the morning up at Big Hollow. That's also National Trails Day, so we're hosting a guided trail hike at Big Hollow at 10. We'll have the open house going on throughout the day from about 9 till 2 o'clock when that flotilla event starts. So anybody that's got a canoe or kayak, come out and float the lake. We'll take a drone picture. Hopefully the weather holds out better than it did last weekend, and we can get this event done. I know there's a lot of folks pretty excited about it. So forward to that. Staying real, real busy. And we got a tour coming up on Thursday. You guys can see just how crazy these campgrounds really are over Memorial Day weekend.
Thanks for changing that to 4:30. That gives me a chance to get there.
Yeah, you bet.
I see rain forecast for Thursday. I trust you'll have that taken care of sometime in the next couple of days.
I put in my request.
You changed the forecast?
Yes, put in my request, yeah. See what we can do.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah.
Sarah Doty, auditor, first deputy, payroll.
Keeping plenty busy. I'm doing enrollment changes right now, so working on those and staying busy.
Okay, thank you. Jared Glasser, land use.
Good morning. We don't have anything on the agenda today, but there will be a zoning commission meeting at the regional planning office tomorrow, Wednesday evening. We have a preliminary plat for a 6-lot subdivision on Beaverdale Road for discussion. Unfortunate timing, we sent out the notices to the newspaper and neighboring property owners early last week. And then came to find out on Friday from BNSF that they are closing the Gear Avenue crossing for some track replacement all throughout this week. So that primary means of accessing our office will unfortunately not be available for that meeting. And then doubly inconvenient for that because the subdivision being on Beaverdale Road north of Flint Bottom. Of course, Flint Bottom is closed through there as well. So it's one of those things where it's just not the best timing because that's obviously the most direct means of accessing our office from where that's located. So unfortunately, the way this ended up being, since we were not aware of that Pier Avenue closure before we scheduled that meeting, just wanted to put out an announcement there that if anybody was interested in attending that meeting, fortunately the only real option is through Flint Bottom off of 61, so that's, I'll have to make the best of it there.
Dear, just full of good news.
Of course, they're working on 61 too, but at least it's actually going through it.
I was going to say, are they still open there? Because they're doing a lot of work there too.
I know, they got it down to 2 lanes on the section just north of Sunnyside, so.
I had a meeting out at college this morning, our chairperson went that way and had to turn around, he called in and said, I'm going to be late.
Thank you, Jared. Natalie Steffner, Des Moines County Recorder.
Good morning. Just business as usual. Things are going well in the recorder's office.
Good. Sure. Kevin Glendinning.
Good morning. Things are going really well at the sheriff's office as well. Nothing major to report.
Lisa Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney.
We are still playing COVID catch up with our jury trials. I think we did 3 or 4 already this month. There's another one set to begin tomorrow. The two magic dates we're looking at as far as needing to get everything done, all previous demands for speedy trial before February 1st have to be tried by July 31st. So that's kind of one of those dates that we're being very mindful of. I think for the most part, we've cleared out a bunch of those. They're just a handful of cases that we knew a year ago were going to go to trial. It was just a question of when. And then the other date is January 31st of 22. That's for those who had waived speedy trial prior to February 1st when we resumed trials. We had an entire year from that date. So those are the two dates we're being mindful of. At this point, we've been doing trials for 3 months now, and we have yet to get to a trial that's on the waiver list. So that's actually the one we're getting more and more concerned about, because as you're aware, we now have all the new cases that have come in, and if they have speedy trials, their regular numbers are in place. We have 90 days. And we always have a list of anywhere from 15 to 20 of those every month. So we're starting to get a little bit concerned that we may not get to those waiver cases in a timely manner. So we're going to try to figure out how we could best approach those. Did interviews for a legal intern last week. We're hoping to have extend an offer to one of the candidates and have them starting in a couple of weeks after they complete their course. As I mentioned the last time I was here, which kind of with you, Tom, it seems like forever since I've been here, but they have to take a special class in order to be quasi-certified by the state to actually handle cases. They can't sign off on legal documents or anything like that, but they can appear in court on behalf of the state so long as they're under the supervision of a licensed attorney, which we have several of those in our office. And finally, I want to announce that the Des Moines County Attorney's Office, as well as the Sheriff's Office, has agreed to join the Burlington Police Department in sponsoring a national night out. There'll be more information forthcoming once we all figure out what exactly it is we're doing, except for all of the things we volunteered Kevin for on Friday in absentia. But it will be on August 3rd of this year. Our anticipation is that it will be on the riverfront, and rather than it just being a law enforcement themed celebration, we're actually including all first responders. Fire department has agreed to be there. They're participating in the planning. The sheriff's office. So far, the only ones we haven't heard from have been the West Burlington Police Department and the West Burlington Fire Department. But other than that, we're hoping it's going to be a fairly big deal and get lots of people. And we'll see what Kevin has that planned after, you know, he all his committees meet.
Big plans.
But I just wanted to put a kind of a save the date for August 3rd. We are anticipating probably early evening, some 6 to 9. The plan is to have free food. All of the first responders there with their equipment and information. I know Gina's participating as well. So it should be a good time and a good informational and educational night for everyone to kind of learn what our various first responders actually do and how we all work together. So that's all I have.
I've got a question for you on those that waive the speedy trial. Are they in jail or are they walking?
Some of them. Generally speaking, if you're in jail, you will demand speedy trial because you obviously want to limit your length of incarceration as much as possible. However, if you have a particularly complicated case, your attorney may suggest that you waive speedy trial even though you're sitting in jail. Usually our homicides, our murder defendants, generally will waive speedy trial. 90 days seems like a long time until you're actually preparing for trial and it flies by. So I would say we maybe have anywhere from a half a dozen to a dozen of those waivers that are sitting in jail. And they do have the opportunity to re-demand. And if they do that, then they will get a new 90 days starting from the day they file that re-demand. But the vast majority of them are on some form of pretrial release or they're out on bond.
Question. Let's see, what are your clients, your customers that's on bail and has waived speedy trial? Let's say this particular customer gets in trouble again.
That never happens.
I'm pretty sure it hasn't, but that a year's a long time. Anyway, so what does that push his waiver, or is that just a separate case?
It's a separate case. We have one gentleman who had a pending felony, I believe it was June of 19, and he bonded out, and then by January of 2020 had gotten in trouble again, and because of COVID, we decided to grant him pretrial release, and then by June, he was working on felony number 3. And then that one, by then, he was not eligible for pretrial release and no one else was going to bond him out. So he was sitting on that case since June of last year and not getting any credit for the other two cases. So, yeah, that happens sometimes. Usually what we've been trying to do, this isn't just a COVID protocol, if we have somebody who has multiple cases that are pending, we generally, when we send out a plea offer, it's going to try to be a comprehensive and consider everything. Get it all done at once. That way it's just an efficient use of everyone's time. But yeah, we have had a handful of those that, you know, idle hands and all of that. So yeah, they just, every couple of weeks they showed up. I know our misdemeanor attorney has one guy who's got, granted, they're all misdemeanors, but I'm going to say 18 or 19 pending misdemeanor cases. Because we were keeping them in the jail to keep those numbers low. And so he just had time to do what he do and kept getting arrested for it.
Part of this falls on you, Kevin.
I think 33 minutes is the record from exit to re-entry.
Holy!
It's been half an hour, I can't take it! I gotta do something!
We didn't even have to wash the laundry, we just...
And then we have them, they commit new offenses while in the jail. So they don't even get out.
He wouldn't have time to get him, he would have had to stop on the way home.
I don't even know if you can get to McDonald's.
Oh,
thank you.
Shoot.
Trent, I assume you're here for an agenda item.
Yes.
Okay. Angie Bond, safety.
Good morning. Really don't have anything to add. We're rolling along.
Becky, I see the county engineer has snuck out.
She promised she'd be short today.
I am.
Since you're here, what's going on?
Just moving ahead with projects, even with the rain. So.
Okay.
Can we have her give a tutorial
That's
with
it?
Brian to how this can be
done? He won't listen.
No,
we've
never
tried.
He
makes us listen. Yes.
There's a couple of interesting stories concerning that very topic that I'll tell you sometime. But probably aren't suitable for this occasion. Janelle Nowen Longquist, Des Moines County Treasurer.
Good morning. We're keeping busy. We're working on the tax sale and preparing the publication list for next week. So, and motor vehicle continues to be busy as well, but business as usual.
Reminds me, I've got to come down to see you after the meeting.
Okay.
For my car.
For the car.
Me too. Thanks, Chanel. Rodney Buesner, maintenance.
Good morning. We've got several different projects going on. We've got some coming up in June. You may want to write on your calendar. June 7th, they're supposed to start on the alley in the back. So I haven't spoke with them probably in a week or so. I don't know with all the rain if their schedules got pushed back or not, but last I talked to them, they were planning on starting the alley in June 7th, so they should be able to keep one side open. I think they're going to try and do it in halves, so at least at one point, should still be able to get in and out. So we'll have to work with transport and all that on how we're going to do that. So I'll know a little bit closer to time, but I wanted to throw that date out so everybody was aware of that. Also, June 14th to 18th, the state's contract will be here to put the audiovisual stuff in the courtroom down on first floor in Judge Bailey's courtroom. We've got it all painted, ceiling, carpet. We had a few things we've got to finish up there, but for the most part, we're ready for them. And then that courtroom will be ready with all the new audiovisual stuff. Also, the generator out of the jail, we're scheduled to start next Tuesday. So that's coming up too, pretty quick. So we're still a little busy, got a lot of stuff going on, so really appreciate everybody's patience and understanding, getting to everything. So I know everybody's got a lot of different little things here and there, so we're working on it and we'll get to it. So appreciate everybody's patience.
You got the pad board for it then?
Not yet, so
it's gonna be your next
Tuesday? Start working on. Yep.
You know how to do cement work?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're covered. We'll postpone that for a little bit until he's busy. Thank you. That's all I have.
Thanks, Rodney. Krista Pogamill, Public Health.
Good morning. Our rolling 7-day case count for positivity for COVID has gone down this week. We're down to 4%. So we've only had 22 cases in the last 7 days. So those numbers are trending in the right direction. We've given 33,900 doses of COVID vaccine in our county and completely vaccinated 16,100. We are continuing on with the COVID mobile. We were in Middletown yesterday, and today we'll be at Grace United Church. And then Thursday we'll be back at the Farmers Market. So we're trying to get out as often as possible to make those vaccines accessible. And I'm really reminding everyone that we do have Johnson & Johnson as well as the Pfizer that we're giving at those mobile clinics. The Board of Health met last week, and they've been working on a Board of Health website, wanting to get a website put up so they can, for additional information out to the community, as well as like if they have things as far as like letters or proclamations that they want to put out there. So they're working on that, and they've got a couple of bids that they've seen and are looking at possibly accepting one of those.
Thank you, Kristen. Anybody online? I'm missing, okay. Correspondence.
The only correspondence I got was from Carter, and it's too long to read.
I got that same correspondence.
It's not the same one.
Should proceed to discussion and vote. We have payroll claims reimbursement correction. My understanding was approved at $314.02 and has been corrected to $270.72. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So we have a correction from $314.02 to $270.72, and then looks like the county saved $44. $43.
Move to approve.
Second. Terry.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes.
See what happens when you're gone.
Give me a party. Beinhardt ordered pizza. We were dancing and stuff.
You have to watch the video.
I'm waiting gas lines. I'm waiting gas lines. Appointment of a township trustee for the Huron Township to Des Moines County Board of Supervisors. I am requesting your approval to be appointed to complete the remainder of a four-year term expiring on December 31st, 2024 for the Huron Township trustee, Lee Robertson, 4478 260th Oakville, Iowa.
Move to accept the appointment.
Second.
Terry.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. A very public thank you to Mr. Robertson. That is a...
Yes, it's a sad occasion of why he's still in that position because of the passing of Sandy Hedges. Sandy Hedges was elected to the town. He's been on he's been a township clerk for years.
Okay.
And this last year, he switched, and his son ran for the clerk position, and Sandy ran for the trustee position. And then, sadly, he passed away, and Lee stepped away from being a township trustee, but he came in, and he said now he's back in it again, so.
We have a Class C liquor license for the Hy-Vee Chesmore wedding. Born on the Ridge on June 3rd, 2021.
Move to approve. Everything is in order.
Second. Terry.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Artie Glendinnings. Oh, I mean, yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. Liquor license for Hy-Vee Wells Wedding, Barn on the Ridge, June 10th, 2021.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes.
Good to see these weddings getting back in. My grandson postponed his for a year and a half. Getting married August the 21st, no matter what.
We have personnel actions. We have one for the Correctional Center, Kendra Whalen, an assistant cook,
a new hire at $8.84 an hour.
Move to approve.
Second. Terry.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yep.
Tom Brooker.
Yes. We have two personnel actions for conservation. We have Jessica Johnson, seasonal day hire, naturalist assistant. Rate of $13 an hour. And we have Cora Ransford, seasonal day hire, naturalist assistant, $10 an hour.
Move to approve both of them.
Second.
Terry.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Brooker.
Yes. We have minutes for the regular meeting of May 18th, 2021.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Shane Campbell.
Yes.
Tom Brooker.
That's Shane. We have a closed session to discuss pending litigation for Iowa Code Section 21.5, paragraph 1, paragraph E. We should retire to the other room if we can get a motion for going to closed session.
So moved.
Second.
Terry.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Tom Brooker.
Yes.
We were taking bets.
Okay, need a motion?
I make a motion to go out of closed session.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Tom Brooker?
Yes. Closed session's over. We discussed pending litigation and a good time was had by all.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah. Sorry. Other business, discuss opening front lobby. I think there's been some discussion about that. I spoke to Terry. I don't have any problem with it at all.
I think I sent you an email back that I thought we should follow CDC guidelines on that. We'll go ahead and open it up, didn't I?
That's what you said. So
did you get my long email that I sent back to you?
Oh yes, I did.
With the brown thumbs up?
No, yeah. Yep.
Brevity. Nothing wrong with that.
You don't have that is kind of racist though. They get the brown thumb and all I get is a yellow thumb or brown. I don't have a white thumb on.
We're not going there. Jimmy opened the door. I think we ought to discuss it. I'm closing it. Look at Jimmy's face.
It's okay with you guys. Rodney, you got any comments or anything?
No, just the had a lot of people asking about it. I know they changed some of the guidelines, so it was just something I brought to Terry to see.
Yeah, we'll have to
bring it up for some discussion, see what you guys thought. If you guys just want to go ahead and open it back, open the front doors back up.
I don't have a problem with that. I'm sure we've got a, and I haven't come in that way, there's a little paper sign that said CDC, you know, recommends the use of masks by those unvaccinated or unvaccinated adults or something to that effect.
Yeah, I mean, we can put up a sign.
I think we discussed we could still set a little table down the basement and by the front door that still has masks on it just in case somebody wants to wear one.
That was going to be the next question. Are we still going to supply the mask in both places?
Are we going through quite a few?
Yeah, it kind of depends. I know around tax time they were flying off the table, but you know, now with the changes, there may not be as many, you know, a lot of, they went really fast, and like I say, around tax time, but then a lot of people is used to them having them everywhere, so they had quite a few that was doing it I am for still keeping some masks around. The longer you went, more people didn't want to have them, and now with them changing it, I just see a lot of people not coming.
The only mask I wore for the last 2.5 weeks was when I was on a plane or an airport. I certainly wasn't the only one. They're just.
So I think the courts they've changed theirs as well, haven't they?
I believe it was May 17th or whatever that Friday was. The Supreme Court Justice did issue an order. So people still are required to wear a mask during court proceedings if they are not vaccinated. I know in the trial last week, I would say we probably had half of the jurors who had to continue to wear a mask because they've not been fully vaccinated. The court does have masks and or shields to provide witnesses or jurors or whoever else may come in the courtroom. We're still socially distancing everyone, so it's not as though we have a lot of random gawkers who come into the courtroom. But there is a mask requirement. I know the courts provide masks to those who do not have them.
I don't care if you want to put masks there for a week or two and see how. I don't suspect you're, so far I've been to Hy-Vee and was virtually anybody. And last time I was at Lowe's,
I went Saturday morning Hy-Vee, had a mask on, got groceries. I spent about 2 hours in there hunting stuff.
You must not be much of a shopper.
No,
I shot a can of pork and beans. They tried to give me 3 months in jail.
I could not find stuff. I was up and down every aisle. I walked by Pop Tarts about 5 times.
They move that every once in a while just to catch people.
You better just order online.
But getting to what? I'll bet there wasn't only 10% of the people in there had masks on. The rest of them are all just running around. The ones that some of them did have one, had them down here under their chin, you know.
So we're good? We're going to open the front door now?
When do we officially want to do that?
Whatever works best for Rodney.
We'll have to let the security guards know they're aware
so
of that.
Maybe I'll just talk to them today and we'll plan on tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'll work.
And give me some time to talk to them and make some signs and get some arrangements made.
Thanks, Rodney.
All right.
Okay. Future agenda items.
I have none.
Committee reports.
Well, I had a public health, but Chris kind of went over it on that web page. You know, they're studying the web page out and trying to get one that's going to be pretty accurate and easy to navigate. So. Then I had a fair board meeting this morning, and everything going fine. I'm getting ready, gearing up to get ready for the fair this year. So that's all I've got.
At CEO meeting, we're discussing letting us vote on some boards, which there's some boards that we don't have votes on. That was the only thing that came up on that. The other one was Workforce Development Board. Unemployment's holding right around 6-ish% still, so. I sort of attended a Zoom meeting for the Mental Health and Disability Services, and we approved bills. Of course, I was on Zoom, and that was before my son's dog got there, and the little 4-year-old girl decided she's afraid of him, and here comes a little 2-year-old boy, and he's not afraid of anything, and he's noisy. So I just muted myself, and I didn't catch the last discussion. But that was all I had. Public input. Anybody from the public would like to address the board? You can email the board supervisors at board@dmcounty.com, that's board@dmcounty.com, or call 319-753-8203, extension 4. That's 319-753-8203, extension 4. We'll give you 2 minutes to initiate that call or that email. And while we wait, does anybody in the room have any comments? They don't have to be pertinent to anything.
How was your trip to Florida?
It was good. We I have an arthritic right knee. I was carrying one end of a couch out of a my son's house in Tennessee, and there's porch there. So my wife's directing traffic, so she gets me at an angle. So I have to step off with my left foot, put all the weight on my right knee as I'm coming down. That was a little exciting. But anyway, we got everything loaded and moved to Miami, and I brought a little discipline into my grandchildren's lives. We had a good time.
What the discipline looked like, Tony?
Well, maybe not a lot of discipline, but I don't think I made them any worse.
I'll talk to Mrs. Broker next time I see her, get a confirmation from her.
But the weather was nice down there. I saw it was wet up there. It was. It, of course, it rains down there just maybe a little bit every day. Highs in the low to mid 80s.
Did you, since you drove through Tennessee, did you notice that they're a lot stricter about the COVID guidelines than they are here or in Florida? Well, I sure did.
I did. Well, we stayed pretty much on the interstate that about the time that gas shortage, we filled up in Tennessee. When we left Tennessee, we stopped for gas in North Carolina, and they were out. They had bags over the gas pumps. Then I told them we didn't want to get below half a tank, so we got into we'd go to South Carolina. So the first gas station we pulled up to, we thought we'd get gas, and we pulled up to the tank. And all of a sudden they flashed up. Pumps are closed. So then we found another one close by that had enough fuel in it, and just stopped and got gas fairly regularly. I'll take it back. The hotel we stayed at had a mask policy when you were in and out of there. That was the only time. Any other public input? We are adjourned. In 5 minutes, we will have a work session to discuss the American Rescue Plan. You are all welcome to stay and contribute.